Leafs Converse TLC OGs Hockey World. What is going on? This is the Leafs Convo Christmas Eve styles. The Leafs, a 5-4 overtime winner over the Red Wings. Jonathan Bernier with a Christmas gift for Kasperi Kapanen and all of Leafs Nation. Thank you, Jonathan Bernier. Your years with the organization were... Did you play for the organization, Jonathan? Mike is ready to go on this Christmas Eve. We've got some positives, and unfortunately, yeah, there are some pre-Christmas negatives. But what else is new? The glass is usually half empty, and that's a glass of eggnog or rum or something. Let's get this podcast done so we can start to celebrate. The Leafs Convo starts right now. And here is my brother from another mother, Michael Piaggiello. Good morning, sir. Do I say Merry Christmas yet, or is it Merry Christmas Eve?
Or Merry Post-Festivus, or yeah, good morning, Norman. This time of year, there's so many things going on. It's just like, and you know, everybody's shopping out there and doing their thing. It's like it comes up, the actual day comes up so quickly. So yeah, it's sort of been a blizzard of activity with the Leafs and for I'm sure for you and I. So I'm glad it's finally here, Christmas Eve and Christmas.
Blizzard. I love the reference of the former Toronto professional soccer team. I think they played indoor. Is the Walden Galleria packed in Buffalo, Michael?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I mean, and ironically, across the street, a brand new Chick-fil-A opened up. And for those who don't know, Chick-fil-A is a rather successful chicken chain, mostly in the South, but it's moved up here. And there are lines around the block for it. They have the police patrolling for Chick-fil-A. I think it's mostly Canadians who are coming to shop and they get in line and they're waiting in line at the drive-thru for an hour.
So what is the appeal of Chick-fil-A? Is it the political? Is it the political stuff? They just want to see if Cletus and Skeeter are at the drive-thru window? Or is the chicken good?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't been able to get in to try it. I've been told it's good, but you know, maybe in January when there is a blizzard going on, the line will only be 45 minutes. I can actually get a sandwich.
This is the Leafs Convo, Norman James, along with Mike Augello. Speaking of feats of strength, happy post-Festivus. The Leafs out-muscling the Red Wings just barely at Scotiabank Arena. 5-4 in overtime. Kasperi Kapanen with a goal that he shouldn't have had. But he got it anyway. Merry Christmas to Kasperi Kapanen from former Maple Leaf, Jonathan Bernier. And the Leafs win again.
Yeah, I have to say that that goal brought back bad memories of Jonathan Bernier and a lot of goals that he gave up late in games. I mean, not the ones from center ice, not the one, you know, the famous ones, but those were the goals that absolutely killed the Leafs, you know, at the end of his first season. Well, he was sort of injured at that point, so I'd cut him some slack. But the next year, so many five-hole goals, so many weak goals at inopportune times. And, you know, I have a few problems with the way the Leafs played last night because, again, it's one of those things where their offense covered up for, you know, their idiosyncrasies and their shortcomings. But it's always nice to take advantage of a bad goaltender, and I consider Jonathan Bernier a below average goaltender in this league.
And we are talking about Jonathan Bernier, Michael. It's always a half glass empty scenario for us, but we know just how good the Maple Leafs are. We know what their capabilities are. The addiction to misery is still there. You know, it's interesting. I've been going back and forth with Habs fans on Twitter. What a waste of time. All they can do is dredge up the past. 67 this, 67 that. And I've told them the past is dead. We're thinking about tomorrow, yet here we are lamenting Jonathan Bernier. Michael, the Leafs keep winning. They're not out of any game. Mm-hmm. They're still, what, 6 points, four, five, 6 points behind?
Six points behind Tampa.
Behind Tampa. I mean, these two teams right now, I believe, are the two best teams in the NHL. If it continues this way, right in through the postseason, one of these two teams will not be around for the league final. And I'm not saying, you know, realign the league or shuffle the way that they order out towards the championship, but geez, they're in the same division, for goodness sakes. Boy, oh boy, as of right now, no matter how good the Leafs are playing, you know, Tampa still seems like it's that carrot in front of them, and it's tough to reach.
Yeah, I think Tampa's record is 14-1-1 in the last 16 games. So it's, you know, they're playing unconscious. They're on a record pace. The Leafs are no slouch either. I mean, they're really doing very well. They're getting now in the last four games, which they've won all four in a row, 23 goals. So they're averaging almost 6 goals a game. Now the competition isn't, high caliber with Florida, the Rangers, Detroit, and New Jersey, but they're still, to score almost 6 goals per game against any NHL team is a feat. Mm-hmm. And that's where, the positivity of the weekend of them beating the Rangers and them beating the Red Wings and coming back. I mean, especially in the game on Sunday, I mean, Kasper Kapanen is providing that secondary offense, not only the goal in overtime, but the opening goal, I think it was 27 seconds into the first period with Matthews and Nylander, but Nylander really had nothing to do with the play. John Tavares with a great tip in, and, the guy's on a 50 goal pace. And, there were some people who were worried, will the pressure get to him? And
what pressure?
Right. Well, that's the thing. It's like, I mean, I think there was pressure. There is pressure, but he is such an even keel. He is such a grounded guy. He just takes everything in stride. And, he's got a great line mate in Mitch Marner who is helping him along. And that was actually one of the decent plays that Jake Gardiner made last night, was getting that shot off and having a tippable for Tavares in the final seconds of regulation. But, so Kapanen's doing really well. Tavares is everything that has been billed. And Morgan Rielly, I mean, I have a friend who at the beginning of the year said Riley's a Norris candidate. And I said, well, cool your jets. I mean, you really have to wait for a while and see, how many points he produces and see if this is a blip, because he was scoring so many points and it was early in the year. He's continuing to do that. He is a Norris candidate. If he keeps doing this, if he breaks, a point per game pace, which he's on the way to doing right now, yes, he's probably one of the top three for the Norris this year.
Is there a Maple Leaf more perfect and more meant to be than John Tavares, Mike?
I know that there's a mentality among Leaf fans, and I completely understand it being, in the sense that they always embrace the ones that were brought up in the organization or drafted by the team. Rielly or Matthews or Marner or Nylander or those guys. But there is something about a guy who is from the area, who chose to come home and is producing. Mm-hmm. And I think that, if it had happened with Stamkos, I think it would have been the same thing. If Clarkson would have been successful, I think it would have been the same thing. But with Tavares, I mean, he's producing and he is just – he's the same guy. He's playing the same dominant way that he did with the Islanders. And that is refreshing. And that's what we'll have to, enjoy watching for the next 6 years.
As an NHLer, I'm not sure I love a player more than John Tavares. It's just everything about him, the way he's composed, how professional he is, how dedicated he is. He's not a guy who wears his heart on his sleeve and is overly exuberant when he scores goals or when he's on the ice. But we saw last night when he scored that big goal, that tip in that tied the game late, and the fist pump, and he dropped to one knee. That reaches me, man. That reaches my heart, because I see a guy who's done so much good stuff for hockey, for the Islanders organization, for those fans, and now is in a position to elevate his career at home with the biggest franchise in hockey that is ascending towards finally ending this Stanley Cup drought. He feels it. He knows it. And so do we. And the man is beloved. He's delivering. And this is such a feel-good story within the overall feel-good story. This is the Leafs Convo, Norman James, along with Mike Augello. The Philip Peronic goal, was that the one that Jake Gardiner just basically gave him?
Well, there were a couple. I mean, the first goal in the first period was a classic Gardnerian giveaway.
Goodness.
But from behind the net, he put it right. That was Roenick's goal, I believe. But there was another one later in the game where it was a similar giveaway, where it was a weak pass. I think it was off the boards and it got intercepted and ended up in the back of the net. And it's like, for all the people, there are positives in Jake Gardiner's game. There's no doubt. He's a great puck handling, skating defenseman, but his there is a disconnect in when it comes to good sense at times, in especially in his own zone. And that, I mean, he has to be protected and limited in terms of, you know, roles where he plays. And that's not a guy that I re-sign for $6.5 to $7 million. So, I mean, I think I think based on Dubas's comments, we're seeing the last year of Jake Gardner, unless he decides to take a big discount, and maybe his defensive foibles will keep his price down low. But I really hope that he's not back as a Leaf and that they upgrade on the blue line, because the things that happened last night, not only with him, but there are other things, those are going to cost the Leafs playoff games. And that's why I'm so vehement in my displeasure at some of the things that Jake Gardner does during games.
Defensive foibles. I like that, Mike. Is Jake Gardner considered a pillar on defense? Is this his fans, Gardnerites? We'll start calling them that now.
Well,
do they consider him to be a stalwart on defense, a guy that you can just rely on? Because if so, that guy can't be making plays like he did last night. I don't care how fast he is, how much, you know, speed he generates, how much, how well he gets into the offensive zone, and how well he can control the puck at times. When he's not controlling the puck himself and taking it from point A to point B, his passing is frightening. And at this level, at this stage of his career, he cannot be making those kinds of plays, those erratic, insecure kinds of plays. They just cannot be made at this level, especially for where he's at in his career. And that's the reason why he takes it on the chin so often. And rightfully so. I'm sorry. He does bring more positive than negative, Michael, but that kind of stuff, and I tweeted it out last night. Imagine that giveaway early in a playoff series against Tampa. How deflated your team would be. The fans would just go nuts.
Well, look at the weekend and look at some of the goals. Now, they scored 5 goals in the victory over the Rangers. They scored 5 goals in the victory over Detroit. But the goals that they gave up 4 goals against Detroit. They gave up 3 goals against the Rangers. On Saturday, one of the goals went off Martin Marincin, who got pushed into the crease by a Rangers forward, and the shot went off of his leg. The other 2 goals were primarily the responsibility of Ron Hainsey. One, it went off of his stick. The other one, he was way out of position when I think it was Kreider scored. So all 3 of their goals were based on defensive lapses. On Sunday, Justin Hall, who hadn't played, and I'll cut him some slack because he hasn't played since November the 1st, he was horrific in the first half of the game. He was being walked around. He was, tackling players. He tried to tackle Christopher N on his breakaway goal.
But, Mike, Justin Hall does a mean orange justice.
And the thing is, I like Justin Hall, but it's a critique of Babcock that if you've got to let this guy play more than once every 6 weeks, so he's going to be rusty coming in. But those defensive errors and then Gardner's errors. I mean, and there I don't think was the support in net yesterday that there was on Saturday, because Garrett Sparks had another rough game. And, I don't care what his record is. He's played 7 games, and in 3 of them he's played good, and in 4 of them he's played not good. Mm-hmm. And that is not dependable. And that can come back to bite the Leafs, not in the sense that they don't win games, but in the sense that Mike Babcock is going to have to play Frederik Andersen heavy down the stretch, because he doesn't trust Garrett Sparks. He's not getting the results out of Garrett Sparks that he would have gotten out of Curtis McElhinney. So these are problems that have to be addressed before the trade deadline.
I don't mind incidental mistakes, Mike, but when you have the puck on your stick and you're in a position where it's not the end of the world and you don't have to make a critical, crucial, game-changing pass in a split second or else, yet you just hand the puck to somebody on the other team and they score right in the slot. That's the problem with Jake Gardner. These pointless, detrimental plays that he makes, these decisions, they're cause for concern because they just haven't changed.
Well,
that's the thing. If he's supposed to be a pillar, if he's supposed to be a stalwart, he's one of the rocks on the defensive core. He's one of the guys you believe you can hoist the Stanley Cup with, who's going to help win you 16 games in the spring. and he's making these kinds of plays?
Babcock has no choice at this point. And that's the whole point, is that, you know, and I wrote something earlier this week regarding, you know, what the Leafs need. And, you know, I'm sort of doing like a shopping list, pre-Christmas shopping list for the Leafs for the deadline. And one of the things was not just a top four defenseman, because I think that's, you know, everybody knows that they need that, but a depth defenseman, because look at what happens. Ozaganov has the flu, and you have to start Marinson, who was terrible on Saturday, and Justin Hall, who was rusty on Sunday.
Yeah.
And Kali Rosen is out with a neck injury, and Andreas Borgman is out with a concussion, and Timothy Liljegren is out with a high ankle sprain. So you have nothing but to go back to Martin Marinson if Ozaganov is not recovered by the flu after the Christmas break. And I'm telling you right now, if Martin Marinson is in the lineup in the playoffs, the Leafs will not, they may win a round, but they will not advance. You know, he is a detriment to any team. And along with guys like Hainsey and Gardner, who make their share of giveaways, you can't have half your defense being giveaway happy.
I'm sure there are data heads out there who can get Marinson on a team, Nylander, Gardner, Sparks, and win multiple Stanley Cups. I'm sure they can figure out a way to make that happen. But in reality, nothing could be further from possibly happening than having those guys as your key players and going all the way. This is the Leafs Combo, Norman James with Mike Angelo. This is supposed to be the positivity episode as we are on Christmas Eve.
The first half was positive. Now we're getting to the reality.
No, you've got three positives to give us before we sign off, because we have to. It's Christmas Eve. I've got a turkey to cook. I've got kids to have a great time with. Some drinks to sip. It's going to be a lot of fun. Just real quick, William Nylander, no points again. He has some great puck rushes, and I'm sure the Nylanderites are using that as fuel to create a scenario in which he was the best player in hockey last night. And that's all fine and dandy, and everybody's rooting for William Nylander. In the meantime, the game goes on, and the mission continues, and that's the Maple Leafs just picking up as many points as they can. Every single game, getting better as a team, and then clearly getting closer to a point where the augmentation of this group with help and support is a necessity and necessary, or... I have a feeling this Maple Leafs team is going to suffer the same fate it has in the past two postseasons. Mike, give us three positive things, and then we got to get out of here.
Well, the three positives were Tavares, was the play of Riley, and was Kapanen. I mean, they were in the game yesterday. That was the three positives. I mean, that they, you know, Kapanen with two goals, Tavares with a tying goal, Riley with a goal. I think Trevor, you know, honorable mention to Trevor Moore, who comes up after the Tyler Ennis injury and plays well in his first NHL game. And remember, he played two games it was his third game in three nights, because he played both Marley games in Laval on the weekend. So I'm sure he was operating on adrenaline and got an assist on Freddie Gauthier's goal. And I think, you know,
Freddie Gauthier's goal, Mike, is that not a positive too? We've been railing. Well, you have been.
Even a broken clock is right twice a day.
He's a big boy. He does a nice job on that fourth line. Yeah. And if, again, I know a lot of people think he's incredibly dominant in a limited sample size, but you know what? He scores that goal. That's a lot of confidence for that kid. That's an early Christmas present. And, you know, maybe he's got something else to show. I mean, are we really expecting Tyler Ennis type production from the fourth line? Don't we want them to get out there and accomplish other things?
Well,
a bone. He's the GOAT.
That goal was proof that there is Santa Claus. I'm happy for him. He's a great kid, and the teammates like him. I just expect more production out of my fourth line center than a goal and four assists. You can say that they're getting offense from the other three centers, and they really don't need that, but you always need it. You always need some aspect of the game, whether toughness, whether penalty killing, something. And really, he's not used on the penalty kill. He's not tough. He doesn't score. Other than that, well, he's great. So, I mean, I have nothing against him. I want to have something to be positive about. And, you know, there's something to be positive about Tyler Ennis. He's got seven goals. Trevor Moore in his first game played really well.
Yep.
Freddie Gauthier is Freddie Gauthier. So, I mean, you know, so, but yeah, my three negatives were Sparks, Gardner and Justin Hall. Hall played terribly. Gardner was, as we said, you know, a guy who's got the experience that he has shouldn't be making the mistakes that he made, and he is, and Sparks. You know, I question right now, even though he's winning games, you know, Babcock was not effusive in his praise. And the post game, he basically said, well, we need our goaltender to be better than their goaltender. It's like, I think you expect more from your backup this to be better than the other guy. You expect him to be good.
Apparently, William Nylander's advanced stats through 9 or 10 games now are Rocket Richard-esque.
Well, let me just say this. I mean,
minus the goals.
Babcock is bending over backwards. He puts him with Kapanen and Matthews at the beginning of the game. That lasted one period. Then he got moved down because he wasn't playing well. And the one goal at the end of the first period, where Gardner gave away the puck, Nylander was out there for it was all that line was out there for over a minute. And at the point that Roenick, no, that was actually the Dylan Larkin goal or the Larkin goal that the Larkin shot that Rasmussen tipped. Mm-hmm. Nylander was out near the point and was so gassed that he couldn't barely lift his stick to get in front of Larkin. So, I mean, this is going to take more time.
Sure.
But right now, they're lucky that his liabilities on the ice are not costing them points.
Look, it's Willie's fault. It's the father's fault. It's Kyle Dubas's fault and Mike Babcock's fault. Forget the agent. All they care about is money. They don't care about anything else. But this is Kyle Dubas' fault. It's Mike Babcock's fault. It's the dad's fault. And it's Willie's fault. It's their fault. Now, it's not a major deal because the Leafs are continuing to win, but it's their fault. This is a big error on Kyle Dubas' part. And it's not because he signed him for under $7 million. I mean, the money's the money. But William Nylander's not ready. And the reason why we're picking on him, and it's justified, is because the way that this Nylander was built up in the days of the impasse by the data heads, who this is their fault too as well. The data heads, the reason why people are on Nylander, it's the data heads created this mess. What they did in trying to validate the impasse and the position of Nylander was to compare him in a favorable way to Mitch Marner. And that's why we're where we're at right now. And as Mitch Marner, I mean, he didn't get any points last night, but as Mitch Marner produces, he's 50-something points. As John Tavares produces and all these other people just continue to produce, and William Nylander still struggles to find his way because he elected to miss 2 months of the season. We can compare now the same way these data heads were comparing then. And it's their fault that we're at where we are right now. And things will get better. If anyone's upset that people are picking on William Nylander and you've been a Nylanderite from the get-go, it's your fault. So don't cry and complain about it. Just keep your fingers crossed that the greatest winger in the history of hockey will get going and, you know, take his rightful place as the greatest Maple Leaf of all time. It's your fault we are here and we are going on about it. Had you not built this guy up to be the second coming and torn down Mitch Marner in the process, we wouldn't be having these issues. And, you know, if Kyle Dubas and Mike Babcock especially were smarter than what they've appeared to be lately, they would have put this guy in the minors and just eased his ass back into the situation. Unfortunately, we're here. And the good thing, Mike, is that everybody is generally successful as a team. Hopefully Nylander finds his way.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing, and here is where the anti-Nylanderites and the pro-Nylanderites can come together. For both camps, it's in their interest for him to be a contributor, to be able to produce and play well.
Michael, I wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. All the very best, my friend. Enjoy the Buffalo Christmas that is so picturesque and world-renowned. Michael, have a good one, my friend.
Thanks, Norman.
That concludes this Christmas Eve edition of the Leafs Convo podcast. What do you think of the work that we do? Is this something that's necessary in your life, listening to this podcast with Mike Augello and myself, Norman James? Or is it a hate listen for you? Either way, awesome. Keep coming back, especially to the YouTube page. Click on the ads too, because that helps keep this project that we all know and love or hate in motion. As a matter of fact, it makes it better every single time Mike and I put a collaboration of Leafs Combo on Wax. So keep it coming. Interesting story. I had a Nylanderite want to pick a fight with me on Twitter over my hot takes about William Nylander, which are all 100% true. Nothing but the truth. People don't like the truth on social media, but it's the truth. And if Nylander goes on a huge point streak in the new year, I'm going to be there backing him up. I'm not going to criticize him or hate him. I'm right there with the truth. Just absorb it. Accept it. Now, if we can only get Habs fans to understand that the past is dead when it comes to Leafs futility and that the future is looking bleak for Montreal Canadiens futility. What happened to the positivity? This is Christmas Eve. I'll get there soon enough. At Norman James TLC, at Mike in Buffalo, holler at me in the YouTube comment section. Folks, I hope you can relax. I hope you can enjoy. The gift to me personally is Leafs converts and TLC OGs, everyone who supports this podcast. You guys are the gift to me personally because this project, this endeavor means so much to me. We're building it every single day. And if you think we're at a good point right now, just you wait. 2019, not only the Leafs year, it's the Leafs combo year. For Mike Augello, I'm Norman James. Talk to you soon. Merry Christmas. We out.